Good morning. We are glad that you're here. You braved the weather. That definitely changed, didn't it? But we're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. Some announcements. We have sign-up sheets out in the fellowship hall. For those of you, we had talked last week about the membership class. For those that have already become a church member and we weren't able to do the class at that time, you're welcome to join that class. And also, if you're interested in becoming a member, we're going to go over what it means to be a member and, you know, just about church stuff. So the sign-up sheets are out in the fellowship hall. Easter is coming, and we love Easter. We love celebrating Easter together, and we also love telling the story of Easter. And our annual Easter egg hunt is one of the ways that we get to do that to the community around us. And I'm just throwing it out there. Dollar Tree already has some of their Easter stuff out. Just throwing that out there. Throwing it out there. It's really cute stuff, too. So does Target, Walmart. Yeah, so they're getting their stuff out. We fill up the eggs, which we had 3,000 last year. Is that what you said? Yeah, 3,000 last year. And then we also like to play Resurrection Bingo. So if there's items that you would like to donate for an Easter basket, that's a way for the kids. We get to tell the story about Easter to the kids with that Resurrection Bingo game, and it gives them a chance to win. So we're taking donations, and it's in the bulletin, but we'll also have a flyer too, so you can pass out the message. Okay. And also, Tina and Bobby have had a big weekend this weekend, haven't you? I know there's some people in this congregation. I mean, we've had a lot of God moving within our congregation, of people needing housing. Housing is hard right now. Housing is difficult. Affordable housing is hard. But Tina and Bobby got an apartment this weekend. Champions and Chris Roberts and everybody helped move them into an apartment. We're excited for her. And for Bobby, some of the things, silverware, plates, pots, and pans. If you have gotten new pots and pans and you're just holding on tight to those old ones because you don't want to let them go, listen, I'll take them from you. Actually, Tina will take them from you. Tina and Bobby will take them from you. But, you know, and plates, I know she said that dinnerware. So if you, you know, have some things that you don't want, I know a guy and I know a girl that would love that and consider it a blessing. So, and it's Tina's birthday today. So we're going to sing happy birthday to our sweet Tina that we just love so much. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tina.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Tina. The Lord has blessed them, and they know it, that they are going to use that as a testimony to what God has done for them, because there's some people that need to know that testimony. You can turn around, and you can turn your life around, and He does answer. He does answer. Amen? Amen. All right, let's get it started. Let's bow our heads and prepare our hearts and our minds for our worship service this morning. We come before you, Father God, with hearts full of gratitude and expectation. We come into this place with an expectation to meet you, to have an experience with you, to hear your word, and not just to hear it, but allow it to transform us so that we will be doers. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you that when we do come into this space with expecting hearts, that your presence is among us
And as we gather into worship, align our hearts with yours, remove the distractions, silence our doubts, help us to fully trust your direction, your wisdom, and what you have for us. And just like you led the people through the wilderness, as you directed your disciples, even when they didn't understand, you still lead us today. We acknowledge your wisdom, and we thank you for you being a God that wants to intervene in our lives, that when we ask for you to intervene, you do, you come. And so we lift up our prayer requests to you, Lord, right now, the requests for healings, the requests for answering, you know, an impossible situation. We lift them up to you. And we ask that you come into our lives, come into our church, come into our community, and do what only you can do, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Be with the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise, and allow it to transform us, teach us, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And what's praise, church? Praise is not quiet, and we're not going to be quiet this morning. Amen? Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in the way that pleases him and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are here today to worship you. We are here today to come to you, to let you know of all the praises we have for you. We worship you. We love you. And we ask that you take care of us. Take care of the people that have the colds and the flu, and take care of those who are worried about the weather, don't know which way to go. You provide all of our needs. And we love you for that, and we thank you for that. And you allow us to give gifts back to you. So bless these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's be positive. If you fail, never give up, because fail, F-A-I-L, means first attempt in learning. End is not the end. In fact, end, E-N-D, means effort never dies. If you get no as an answer, remember that no, N-O, means next opportunity. You know, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, heading for the Promised Land, were concerned about all kinds of things. And many times during their journey, they went and they gave up that God was going to take care of them. And that they had another opportunity right around the corner into that promised land. But that promised land didn't look so good anymore, because they were on a long journey. And they said that I could have done better just staying and being a slave in Egypt. But God's promises were never void. God gave them the promised land for all of them and their families. Yes, the people that left Egypt never got to be in the promised land. But their families did. So we need to take today to think about this. Our Bible tells you those stories and tells you God's promises. But if you don't dig into the Bible, how do you know the stories? If you don't take time with him, how do you know where he's taking you? God's promise is great. He gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for you and me, not for just those people back then, but for all eternity. We just have to believe. So take some time, dig in your Bibles, look at the opportunities he gives you, and don't give up. Never give up, because he has greater things for you than you can ever imagine. You just have to believe, and you have to go to him. Take some time this week, dig in your Bibles. Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to help us in this new year as we get ready for the Lenten season, that we can take the journey with him through the wilderness and find how great God is. Mm. Amen? Let's pray the prayer. "This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
I want to tell those that are joining us online, sometimes I forget to mention it on Sunday, but it's not that I don't think of our girls that I know for sure that join us online, but Tasha, continue to pray for her as she cares for her grandma. Her grandma's in hospice care, but Tasha is taking care of her. Yeah, we love you, girl, but continue to pray for her. And Amber, both Ambers actually, but Amber, that is, she's been working hard on getting those candles. She made more candles for Valentine's Day. They were so cute. She's out there selling and making them, but sometimes she's not able to be with us here on Sunday mornings because she has to work. But she watches online while she's working, she says. So we love you, girls, and all of you that join us online. We thank you. So this morning, we're going to start in the Old Testament. We're going to go back to Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 10. And then we're going to go to Psalm 1. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians, just to kind of give you the map. So, I love my GPS, all right? My sister makes fun of me. I've lived in Newark all my life. But I still sometimes have to use my GPS, even in Newark. And sometimes I think I know where something is. You know, when you lean on your own understanding. You know how to get there. You don't need to ask GPS for help. You know where you're going. And sometimes I do that, and I take the longest way possible, or I didn't know, absolutely have had any idea where I was going. I didn't have any business driving on my own. I had no business driving on my own. So you miss a turn because the road signs were confusing. Don't let me go to Columbus without GPS. Don't you let me do it. Don't let me. Because even with GPS, sometimes I still miss the exit. I didn't think that that's what that was. I thought it was the next one. You hit unexpected road construction. You had no idea where the detour is going to take you. You don't turn on the GPS, so you don't know that there's traffic up ahead, or you don't know that, you know, GPS now will tell you if there's a cop sitting up there and they're waiting. There's a speed trap up ahead. It will warn you that there's a speed trap up there. Thank you for looking out for me. And after hours sometimes of just being frustrated and you finally pull over, you're exhausted, you're lost. And that is what trusting our human thoughts, our human strengths, when we try to navigate our life on our own. We get frustrated. We think we know. We say this in our house. It's from my grandpa Pritz. It was hilarious one day. My grandma, I forget what it was. It was latching a door or something. And my grandpa's name was Howard. And grandpa told her something. And she's like, oh, Howard, I know. And he says, don't tell me you know, because you don't know. Because if you knew, you would have done it in the first place. So don't tell me you know, because you don't know. So whenever my kids tell me they know, we go into a Grandpa Fritz rant. Do not tell me you know, because if you knew, you would have done it. We think we know, but we really don't know. And then there's another way of driving, right? There's the using the GPS, using, trusting the GPS. And I know sometimes you can't trust the GPS, but on this GPS, we're going to call it God's positioning system. That's what our GPS is. That's what the Holy Spirit is within us. God's positioning system. And when we turn on that GPS, when we ask God for his divine intervention, lead me, direct me, You need to tell me where you want me to go. That's a bold prayer. Don't take it lightly. If you're at that point in your life, on your journey, where you're like, you know what? This just ain't working. I'm trying. I did it on my own. Lord, you're going to have to take it over. Take the wheel, Jesus. And you surrender. That is a bold prayer. And that is a bold statement. Your life will change. I will tell you that. Your life will change. When you surrender and you lay it down and you allow God's positioning system to take it over. I know because he did it for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. Amen? I'm telling you. It might take you on roads that you didn't expect. You know, because let's just be honest. We know that a straight line is the fastest way to get to point A to point B, right? A straight line. Sometimes God's not going to take you on that straight line. He wants to teach you some stuff. He wants the road to get a little hard, a little difficult, because he wants to see how much it means to you. He wants to see if you're ready for that blessing, that destination. So there might be some trials. There might be a detour. For me, there were some roadblocks. Some of those roadblocks were my own. I stalled. I wanted to do something. I thought, oh, I'm just going to get out here. And I had to learn some things. But then I get back in my car. And God said, okay, now you can go. And we know that. We see that in our Bibles all the time, just like Paul talked about, walking in the wilderness. They went in the wilderness. They needed to learn lessons in that wilderness. And they didn't get to the promised land until they had learned them. And God knew that they were ready to go into that promised land. God's positioning system. Life often has a series of choices that we have to make, whether we're going to trust our own understanding, our own human knowledge, or we're going to turn it over to God and we're going to say, God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, I want you to lead and direct me. So in our chapter of Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10, Jeremiah was delivering this message to the people of Judea. It was a warning, the leaders, the priests, Israel, about their misplaced trust in human strength, their misplaced trust in political alliances, idolatry. And at this time, Judea was in deep spiritual decline. The people had turned away from trusting God and instead placed their confidence in those corrupt leaders. They placed their confidence in those false gods. They placed their confidence in powerful nations like Egypt, which you know darn well they shouldn't have been trusting. Jeremiah was God's prophet sent to warn them. Trusting in human power isn't of God. And it's going to lead you to disaster. You're on your way to a dead end. And it's not just a dead end. There's explosives at the end of the road. It's a disaster. And the people of Judea, they believed they could live however they wanted. They could worship whoever they wanted. It didn't matter. Doesn't this sound familiar, people? They can do whatever they want. They could live the way however they wanted to live, trust whoever they wanted to trust. It was easy to trust the government. It was easy to conform to everyone around them. And they ignored God's warning. And because Judea refused to listen, they suffered. Babylon invaded, destroying Jerusalem. The alliances that they thought were going to hold fast, their idols were powerless, and they were misled. Everything they trusted instead of God collapsed. Warning, warning, warning. Construction ahead. And they didn't take the warnings. So let's read this. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength and his heart turns from the Lord. He will be like a juniper. He cannot see when good comes. but dwells in a parched place in the wilderness. He cannot see when good comes. So good has come. There's been some good that's happened, but he can't see it because he's too distracted. He's too focused on everything else. What's happening to other people that isn't happening to you? He's missing the good God had for him in its scorched earth. It's desolate and it is a desert, and it's in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence, indeed, the Lord is blessed. He who trusts in the Lord will be like a tree planted by the water. It sends its roots out towards the stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. The heart is more deceitful than anything else. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, examine the mind. I test the heart to give each according to what his actions deserve. According to what our actions deserve. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted in the water. Judea's mistrace trust led them to destruction, and our lives can become spiritually dry and broken, just like Jeremiah described it, in that desolate desert place. Dry. Can't see the good, even when the good's there, because we're not paying attention. We don't have our GPS on. And rather than our own understanding, there's only one way to thrive. There's only one way that we're able to bear fruit. There's only one way that we're going to be able to be flourishing, is when we put our trust in the Lord, expanding our roots out, seeking him, seeking the water. And Jesus said, I am the living water. In Psalm 1, it kind of gives us another description. It tells us the person who delights in the Lord is like a tree, again, planted by the water. How happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight is in the Lord's instruction on how to get there. Because the Bible tells us how we are to get to the kingdom. That's our destination and our GPS. He is like a tree planted beside the flowing streams that bears its fruit in its season, whose leaves does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Oh, man, what a promise that is. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. Red alert, road closed ahead. Strong, steady, and thriving is the tree planted by the water that trusts in God, that fears God. There isn't too many of us that we could say we've never thought God made a mistake. I know. What did she just say? She's talking about me. There's been times I've questioned, Lord, is this really what you meant? This hurts. This hurts really, really bad. And I don't understand. If you are such a good God, because the Bible tells me you're a good God and you want good things for me, this isn't good. Something's wrong. I have. We don't always say it out loud, right? Sometimes we don't want to confess that because I don't want people to think that I doubt God. I don't want people to think I haven't turned my life over to Jesus. I have. We're human. But deep down, we feel it. We wrestle with it. We think about it. Why is my life going this way? Why did God allow this detour? straight line. He's taken me off the route. This isn't what I planned. Remember those triptychs you used to get from AAA where they highlighted? This wasn't on my triptych. I know, I'm dating myself. And because we struggle to trust God's direction, we struggle to celebrate when something good happens, it's almost like we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. I know sometimes I do. Like something really good happens, and now I'm waiting. Like, all right, what's going to happen? What kid's going to get sick this time? Here's the truth. God's plan is not a mistake. His direction is not random. His guidance is not faulty. Even when you do make that wrong turn, guess what? He can make a way where there wasn't a way. He can make a driveway where there wasn't a driveway. That's how powerful our God is. You think you are so strong and so powerful that you can ruin God's plan for your life? You think you're that powerful? That you have that much? No, you don't. Because when you do turn around, when you do say, look, I'm lost, take it. Oh, he comes running. He's like AAA. They are going to come no matter where you are. He's going to fix it. He's going to get you back on the road, tell you where you need to go, fill your gas tank up with gas so you can get on getting on. I love that. That's happened so many times. Our goal today is for the supernatural, the reality of God's presence and work to become real to you, to become real to us. God's presence and his work to become real through you, for you, and from you, because it's not just about you. It's about who you're going to pick up along the way. Did I say it too fast? Through you, for you, and from you, because it's not all about you. We got to pick people up along the way. Because during our journey, where we've came from, where we've turned and made a U-turn, we're going to see people on the other side going the same way we went. And we're here to say, hey, you know what? I've been there. I've tried that. Let me tell you what Jesus did. So from us, we're to reach out to people along the way. And that means we must learn to trust his direction, even when it doesn't make sense. When we place our confidence in the Lord, he says, I know the plans I have for you. And this is from Jeremiah 2, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Amen. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 20. This is one of my favorites. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is in vain, and so is your faith. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses about God because we have testified wrongly about God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead are not raised, for the dead are not raised, even then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Those then who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, we should be pitied more than anyone else. But, as it is, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also came through a man. The resurrection. If Christ had not been raised, Paul says, preaching our faith, our belief is empty and it's meaningless. The resurrection story, it's illustrated in three words, and you've probably heard me say this before, but guess what? It's a good Sunday to remind you. The best words you are ever going to read in your Bible, there's three of them. Three best words you're ever going to hear, not just in the Bible, you're ever going to hear, period. Three words. He has risen. Best three words you're ever going to know. Why? Because it is because of those three words, you do have a U-turn. Your steering wheel is able to turn around on that road because of Jesus Christ raising from the dead. It's not that he just died on the cross. It's because he raised from the dead. That's the difference. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, Paul says, we are preaching in vain. Our hope is in vain. Not only our hope, but our eternity. We're dead just like Jesus if he hadn't been raised from the dead. If Christ hasn't been resurrected, the songs that we sing every Sunday in our cars, not even just in church, they're hopeless, they're meaningless, they're faithless. We would have no hope. We would have no way to make that U-turn, to change our lives around. That's the heaviness. He has risen. The cross couldn't conquer him. The grave could not hold him. Satan could not defeat him because he is who he said he is. Because he's still alive. Not who he was. He is alive. He is ascended. He still is. Satan couldn't defeat him. Rome couldn't defeat him because they put that seal on that tomb. And once they put that seal, the Roman seal on anything, it's done. But God, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the conqueror of hell and the grave. He repeatedly said he was the Son of God who came to die for our sins. He has risen. So the disciples, they were confused about this part of the plan. You know, Jesus told them a couple of times before he went to the cross. He said, look, this is what's going to happen. And they didn't understand it. They didn't want to understand it because that's not what they thought. That's not the direction they thought the Messiah should be taking. The disciples, they were confused. They had followed Jesus, expecting him to establish his kingdom, overthrow Rome. We got some business. The spiritual leaders rejected him because he didn't fit into their expectation. They were competing. Really? You're really going to compete against God in the flesh? They're jealous. They didn't recognize him. The crowds turned against him, crying Hosanna one day and crucify him the next. This was not what they thought. The scenery changed. Somehow we got off. And from a human perspective, the cross looked like a wrong turn. It looked like a mistake. It didn't seem like the path of victory. It seemed like the road to defeat. And even those closest to Jesus doubted. Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. The disciples, they scattered in fear. There was a rerouting of what they thought. So instead of following the GPS, sometimes we choose to trust our own judgment. And that's exactly what happened to the disciples, the religious leaders, and the followers of Jesus. They did not trust the route. And then we're going to go to Luke 6, verses 17. After coming down with them, he stood on a level place with a large crowd of his disciples, with a great number of people from Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast. They came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those tormented by unclean spirits were made clean. The whole crowd was there to touch him because power was coming out from him and healing them. Then, looking out on his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, because the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, because you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and slander your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Take note, your reward is great in heaven, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. Woe to you who are now full and will be hungry. Woe to you who are now laughing, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for this is why their ancestors used to treat false prophets. He kind of flipped things. People didn't like that either. And the moment that you choose to follow Christ, trust in his ways, surrender to him, some things are going to seem flipped. The poor in spirit will receive the kingdom. The hungry for righteousness will be satisfied. The weeping will be comforted. And it isn't that the poor in spirit having no money. He's talking about what is happening in our heart. The poor in spirit, when we continue to go after building God's kingdom, when our heart depends fully on him, being hungry isn't physical hunger, but it's hungry for the righteousness and the justice of God. When we're hungry for it, when we see a need and we want to fill that need, we're hungry for righteousness. By mourning and by weeping, it's not just about grief. It's about a heart that we long to heal. We long to heal others. We long to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Woe to the rich. Woe to those that laugh now. He isn't saying that, you know, woe to you that are wealthy. He's warning against self-sufficiency. When you finally get what you've been praying for, when he answers your prayer and you're not down on your knees at the foot of the cross begging him for that blessing and you think you got it made, you got it, you're good. You're going to keep on that road. You don't need to stop for gas. When we become self-sufficient, we think we got it. We think we know. That's what Jesus is talking about. We have to trust in him. And the cross was the road Jesus had to take. It didn't make sense then, but it was the way to victory. The resurrection was proof that God's plan was perfect from the very beginning of the Bible. It was perfect. It was the GPS to beyond the cross because it didn't stop at the cross. We are living, walking, breathing testimonies that he has risen. For some of you, it is a miracle that you're sitting here this morning. He has risen. The kingdom of God is our ongoing destination. Guess what? It doesn't stop when we get to eternity. It's not like we've reached our destination. When we get to eternity, we still contribute to the kingdom of God. We still participate in the kingdom of God. Just like all the ones that have gone before us are our great clouds of witnesses. They are still contributing to the kingdom of God. But we do have a purpose. And we do have a job right here and right now. And is to continue that journey to build his kingdom. Because it's not just about you. It's about taking those people all along the side of the road while you've done your own turnaround, your turn. You've come to Jesus. You have a testimony to talk about it. Bringing people in. Trusting him. And just like he came to the disciples after they had lost their way, he comes to you. I love that. Even when I doubted, even when I did the thing that I shouldn't have done because I thought I knew better, he didn't just leave and forsake me and say, you know what? You knew better. You knew better. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come here. Come on. I'm going to help you fix it. And it may hurt a little bit. There may be some consequences, but it's nothing that I can't handle. It's nothing that I can't restore. Amen. And he offers us grace. He offers us forgiveness. If you need a U-turn, if you need to get your direction aligned with his GPS, don't wait. Don't keep digging a bigger pothole. It's time. Let's pray. Father God, as we prepare to leave this place, we thank you for your presence, for speaking to us this morning and reminding us of your kingdom. Reminding us of the journey that we are on, that it is an eternal kingdom. You're the way, you're the truth, and you are the life. And we commit to following your direction, trusting your plan. Forgive us when we doubt. Forgive us when it isn't a straight line, and we think that we do know better, and then we get off course. Your wisdom is so much stronger. You're just all-knowing. And we struggle sometimes with doubt. Remind us of your faithfulness. Remind us that you never fail, that you always lead us to what is good. And as we go, may your peace go with us. May your joy sustain us and empower us by your Holy Spirit to be ambassadors for Christ, to get those people who are alongside the road, to tell them to be living, breathing, walking testimonies of what you've done in our lives. Because it's not just about us and our way and our path. It's about building your kingdom and leading people to the cross of Jesus Christ, who has risen. And in his name we pray, amen. Every time I hear that song, it reminds me when I was 13, Christmas Eve, at this church, and Pastor Chuck was giving the message about making room in your heart for Jesus. Are you going to make room for Jesus? He was talking about the innkeeper, and I remember the Holy Spirit came upon me hard. And I told him, I said, I just don't want to make room for you. You just take it. You take all my heart. You take all my life. I want you to have all of it. Amen. I mean, it is a bold thing because the Lord has taken me through some dark, deep things, but he has been faithful. And he has led me even when I got off the path because he has risen. And may you be like a tree planted by the water, standing firm in that truth. The truth of the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that you are filled with hope and that you are filled with that truth, that you are a king's daughter. You are a king's son, and we are contributing to that kingdom. Amen.